Hey, and I want to say a big welcome to all the Crossroads family. Love we get to be together. Anybody visiting, it is so good to have you here. And then also our online campus, Michelle Jacobs is watching right now in Los Angeles. Michelle, welcome. And I just got mentioned from Sweet Baby Girl 87 is watching also. I love that name. Don't you love that name? Sweet Baby Girl 87. So 86, I hope you're watching too. But anyway, just really, really good to have all of you here. Before we dive into the message, I want to just tell you that I am so in love with this Crossroads family and all the people in here who have chosen to be faithful to God. And there's a couple in here that is making an eternal difference in an incredible way. Pam and I got to witness that last night. It's Shannon and Bartley, who had a holy discontent to see people set free and healing happen. Now, if you're not aware of this, and you need to be aware of it, sex trafficking is not only happening all around the world, it's happening in Riverside County. It is a horrific thing to know. It aches in our hearts to know what's occurring, and people are being harmed, girls are being hurt. So Shannon and Bartley decided to do something about it, and they started a ministry called Run to Rescue. And they have watched girls be saved. As a matter of fact, just in this last brief period of time, because of their ministry, 7 girls have been baptized here at Crossroads who have found freedom. And last night, we got to celebrate as one of the girls has gone through their wonderful program, intensive program, to be set free. And so Pam and I were in awe of watching what occurred and how it happened. We love, love, love this girl. That was just so incredible, seeing the life that's in her, seeing the ministry that occurred. But a moment came where I was brought to tears because the family she's staying with looked at her and said, as a part of her graduation, they're giving her keys to their home where she's now going to have a home and she's a part of the family. And so I know they're in the service today, Shannon and Bartley are. And I just, oh man, when people are faithful to God, look what happens. That just is what happened. And I love this church. I just love the faithfulness. Let's pray and we're going to dive into this. Father, I pray today that we would not be oblivious or apathetic to the calling you have, to the hope we have, to the life we're meant to live. I pray, God, we would be found faithful. I pray we'd be found true. I pray we'd make a difference in all the things that we're called to, in little things and big things and what's hard and what matters most. May we live that out with everything we should. God, may you look at us and see our lives having value. And God, may we understand the great value you place on us. So I want to pray your Holy Spirit would stir and move. If there's anyone here today who's in pain, God, I pray they're going to find healing. If there's anyone, Lord, who's in bondage to something they need to be set free from, I pray today would be a day of freedom. God, I pray for the moving of your Spirit now in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a book out called The Power of Habit that I love. It's by Charles Duhigg. Charles Duhigg is a Pulitzer Prize winning author and writer for the New York Times, but he wrote this book, and by the way, he's a born again Christian, but he wrote this book and it was about this, why do we do what we do in life and in business? It's interesting because what he calls us to is to understand that the research out there shows beyond a shadow of a doubt, you and I can change. Now, the Bible actually teaches that, and there's a word for change in the Bible, and you ready for what that word is? The word is repent. Now, sometimes you act like that's a bad word. It's a beautiful word. It means that God is calling for you and I to know we can change. We can be different. We don't have to let things hold on to us. We don't have to do some of those things that keep us from being who we want to be. But here's what's interesting about the book, The Power of Habit. They found in the research that if you and I would enact what's called certain keystone habits, that those would have ripple effects in our life to cause us to live differently and to be better. And so the idea in the book is this, isolate those few keystone habits and watch it have this amazing ripple effect in your life. Let me give you an example. A keystone habit for families. Families that eat dinner together at home. By the way, did you hear the word at home? They eat dinner together at home. They have found just making that a habit has a ripple effect to that your children will actually spend longer doing their homework, do it more effectively, and do better in school. They'll also be highly socialized in being able to interact together. And they're found that families that do that, the studies have shown, are far happier than families that don't. So just choosing to actually eat together can make a big difference. That's a keystone habit. By the way, I want to tell you this. You might be thinking, okay, that's good. I want to read the book. Some of you don't want to read. So let me give you the good news. I'm going to take it all down to one thing for you. You don't have to read the book. There's one keystone habit that would make more difference in your life, that would affect more areas, that would result in your being happier than any other keystone habit. And you and I need to have that habit. But what I want to tell you is it will make you relationally better, more effective. It will affect your professional life in an incredible way and make you more effective. It will cause you to be more effective spiritually. And here's where I'm going with that. You will be in connection with God. You'll be more in tune with Him if you would enact this one habit. And what is that habit? The habit is faithfulness. If you would choose to be a faithful person, faithfulness is the habit of pleasing God. So let me say that again. Faithfulness is what? It's having a habit of the life where you actually seek to please God. It's your habit of life. And a faithful person is a person of faith who prays before they act, who seeks God, who trusts in God, who looks to God. You do it by being in His Word every day and allowing His Word to teach you. You do it by allowing the promptings of the Holy Spirit to guide you in your life. And when you get those, you act on them because you're faithful to God. Now, a faithful person is going to live an incredible life. And by the way, I want you to know this. Psalm 37 is where we are. There's a promise most of us love. We talk about it all the time, and we should talk about it all the time. But I want you to catch the context of it. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I love that verse. I love verse four that says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And I want you to know He wants to do that, but that will not happen if you don't look to verse three, that you trust in the Lord, that you do good, and don't miss that other word, that you cultivate faithfulness. Cultivate faithfulness. Cultivate is a Hebrew word, raah, R-A-A-H is the transliteration. And it means to associate with or to associate with faithfulness. It means to shepherd, pasture, graze, or feed faithfulness. Now, it probably didn't surprise you that it's an agricultural term. But what is it getting at there? Because it's pretty deep and pretty cool. If you and I would actually tend to faithfulness in our life the way a shepherd does to the sheep, you would see faithfulness grow, and you would find God giving you the desires of your heart. Amen. Yeah, it is. Pray God for that. And so here's the thing, is God wants to do that for you. So you know, if you're a shepherd, what do? You find the best fields for your sheep, you get them out there, and you allow them to graze. You put the effort, the intentionality into it. If you would do that with faithfulness, it would become the habit of your life. I don't know if you know this, but when I was in high school, when Pam and I were in high school, this area had dairies everywhere. Did you know this used to be Dairyland? That there were all these dairies out there, and a lot of our friends lived on the dairies, worked on the dairies. So we would go and visit them, and very often we'd get there later in the day when it was time to feed the cattle. Now here's the thing you got to grab. Anybody who kind of grabs hold of this, when the cows know it's time to be fed, what do? They go straight to the place of feeding. And matter of fact, they get there very often before the food's out because they know it's time to be fed. It's their time of life to do that. And so you watch all these cows lumbering over, you know, getting ready for food. And here's the thing, you ready? That's because they've been fed that way. When you feed on faithfulness, cultivate faithfulness, you'll become a faithful person. And God's great desire is that you and I would be that way. And notice what Jesus said about it in Matthew 23:23. He's going to say this. Faithfulness is one of the weightier matters of the law. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, and he's going to attack them now. For you tithe mint and dule and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. But these things you should have done without neglecting the others. He said, I want you to know that the tithing's a good thing, but that's a little thing. That's the easy thing. The more important thing is to overall be faithful, to be a person of justice and mercy. And so Jesus said, it's that big a deal. So here's the question I want to ask you, and I'm about to give you the answers. And I hope you have your note sheet in front of you. I really, really have your notes in front of you for this. So here's the question. How do I cultivate faithfulness? How do you cultivate faithfulness? That's the question, and there's four answers to that, four-part answer that will help you cultivate faithfulness in your life. Number one, how do I cultivate faithfulness? Number one, in the little things. It starts in the little things. If you would have that as a keystone habit, it's going to ripple into your life. So Luke 16, verse 10, Jesus says this, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is also unrighteous in much." Now, he's going to go on and talk about money and how you handle money. And say that, you know, you can't serve God and money. You got to make a choice here. You got to be faithful to God. But what I don't want you to miss is the principle that's here. The principle is if you and I are faithful in a little thing, we're going to be faithful in much. And so we ought to be that way. That's what God wants to have be true of us. So as a Christian, as a believer, as a born-again person in Christ, if someone gives you too much change, what do? You give it back. It's not even a question, right? I mean, that's what a Christian does. It's a very little thing, but you're faithful in that. If you're out to eat and they don't charge you for something that you got, what do? You tell them. And so, you know, you're not going to take advantage in a little way. That's what a Christian does. And wouldn't you agree that every member of the Crossroads family ought to act that way? Do you agree with that? Yeah, we just ought to be, that's who we are. Yeah. And so we need to be faithful in just the little things of life. By the way, let me give you some examples of those. You need to be faithful in how you transact business. It might not seem like a big deal, but to God it is. Listen to a verse that very often we don't think about, but is very powerful and incredibly true. Proverbs 11, verse 1, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." Now, you might go, well, wait, how does that apply to me? What he's talking about, how do you transact business? Back then, you know, if you were getting ready to be paid, you would have a balance scale, you know, and what would you do is you'd put a weight on this side and money on this side to balance out what you owe. That's how you'd pay. Now you already know this. It's obvious that a lot of people would want to rip people off, so they would put a false weight on the scale so they could get more money out of them they deserve. And he said, God says, I'm watching that. I care about that. So when you're in business, you don't overcharge somebody. When you're in business and someone undercharges you, you let them know. That's just the kind of person you are. You live a life of integrity. You're faithful in how you transact business. God says, I want you to be that way. Noah the other night preached at Generate. By the way, Noah's rocking it at Generate. If you haven't heard him preach, man. And he was preaching. And he reminded me of something. And it's the movie Courageous. Did you guys love Courageous? All right, yeah, it was good. In the movie Courageous, there's a character named Javier. And Javier's life isn't going well. And so he loses his job. And he says, God, I don't know what to do. God, please take care of me. Please take care of my family. And he ends up getting a temporary job. And then eventually they put him on full time. In the midst of this, he meets some other Christian men. And they've all committed that they're going to live 100% faithful to God. They make a pact together to do that. And then he's called into his boss's office. And the boss tells him, you know what, Javier, you're up for a promotion. And you could take over the evening shift. But if you want to take over the evening shift, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to not put down the inventory correctly. If there are 17 boxes, I want you to write down 16. If there are 15 boxes, I want you to write down 14. I always want you to leave one box off the inventory. And Javier sits stunned and he said, why? And he said, it's not your business. You just do that. He goes, can you do that? And he looks at his boss and he said, I don't know. I don't know that I can do that. He said, well, you think about it tonight. You let me know tomorrow. So he goes home to his wife and he says, honey, here's my thing. I'm offered a promotion. She's like, yes, God's taking care of us. Now we have money for our family. He goes, but there's a problem. And he tells her about the inventory issue. And she looks at him and she goes, but we need the money. We need the money. It's not that big a deal. He's your boss. He told you to do it. And he's like, but God doesn't want me to be that way. I don't think I can do this. And so he's praying and praying, God, show me what to do. Show me what to do. And so he comes in the office the next day, and the boss looks at him and says, so are you going to do it? And he says, no, I'm not. That's not me. That's not who I am. I can't be dishonest like that. And you know what? If it cost me my job, it cost me my job. And his boss says, no, actually, that got you the promotion. It was a test.
Yeah.
And he said, by the way, four other men failed the test. Would you pass the test? By the way, you should, right? Hey, it's a very little thing, but are we going to pass the test? Are we completely faithful? And God's watching that, and it matters to him. By the way, God wants you to be faithful in how you work at your job or how you do your job. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. You and I, when you go to work, you're working for the Lord. You might say, Chuck, that's obvious for you. But I want to say it's obvious for you. If you're a teacher, you're not a teacher for the Corona Norco Unified School District. You're a teacher for Jesus Christ. If you're an attorney, right? Yeah. If you're an attorney, you're not an attorney for your whoever you work for. You're an attorney for Jesus. If you're a cop, you're a cop for Jesus. If you're a fireman, you're a fireman for Jesus. If you're a businessman or woman, you are for Jesus. And so, by the way, whatever you do, you're doing it for the Lord. And so we should be faithful and treat it that way. How about this? Are you ready? If we're going to be faithful people in the little things, we also should be faithful in how we take care of our pets. Did you know that? Do you know God actually cares about your pets? Listen to what it says. Proverbs 12:10. A righteous man has regards for the life of his animal unless it's a cat. You can email me at doug@crossroadschurch.com. Okay, that's not in there. A righteous man has regard for the life of his animal, but even the compassion of the wicked is cruel. God looks at the way you take care of your dogs, your cats, your fish, you know, those goldfish that'll last a week. God cares. And you know, we ought to be faithful in that. How about this? God cares about what you eat and drink. Did you know that? 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That means the way I eat or the way I drink or what I eat or what I drink, that needs to be faithful to God. By the way, this is the tough one for me. I've shared that before. You know, I could easily overeat. I can easily fall off the wagon. I can easily head that direction. And so you know what? The question is, am I going to be faithful to God in how I eat and what I drink? And am I going to ask God about that? I found a secret. If you don't know what it is, it's far better to pray before you order than to pray before you eat. Did you know that? Yeah. You know, the other day I'm like, Lord, really like that double cheeseburger and the fries, but I want macho fries. And I you know, the Lord's going, what are you doing in here? Why are you even here? And I'm like, oh, because I you know, if you want to hear from God, pray before you order. It works. But the question is, as we eat and drink, are we going to do it to the glory of God? And you know, it might seem like a small thing, but God wants it to be. How about this? If I'm going to be faithful in the little things, then I should keep my word. If I make a promise, I ought to fulfill it, no matter how small it may seem or big it is. No matter what, a promise is a promise, and I ought to keep it. Matthew 5:37 says, but let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no, for anything beyond these is evil. Ricky and Talia is our chief of staff. Their children are Noah, Malachi, and Maya. I love those kids. I love them. And it was a few months ago, I'm with them, and we're all talking and laughing, and I found out they're into Spider-Man. And so I said, hey, guys, we should have a Spider-Man party, before I even thought I said it. Do you know what that meant to them? We're having a Spider-Man party. So they go tell their mom, we're going to have a Spider-Man party. And she goes, really? He goes, that's what he said. Well, so the next day, when are we going to have the Spider-Man party? And I'm like, oh my gosh, we got to have a Spider-Man party. So we had one. Balloons, cake, ice cream, everything but the movie, because Talia won't let him watch the movie. Here's the thing I want you to grab hold of is the minute I said it to him, what was the calling of God in my life? Would you all agree I should do it? Yeah, and you know what? How about when you were a child? Did you ever have a parent tell you something and then it didn't come through? And didn't it break your heart? Or maybe another, you know, a grandparent, or an uncle, or an aunt. Or you know what? When you say something to a child, that's a big deal to God. It's a big deal to them. And here, if you're faithful in little things, you're going to fulfill it. So you need to be that way. So cultivate faithfulness in the little things. Number two, cultivate faithfulness with what I have. I will cultivate faithfulness if I'm faithful with what I have. In Luke 19, Jesus is going to tell the parable of the minas. That's interesting. And in verse 12, it says, so a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. Now, real quickly, because I do want you to know this, what is a mina? A mina was a measure of money that was 100 days' wages. A denarii is a day's wage. A mina is 100 days' wages. By the way, in Matthew 25, Jesus tells the parable of the talents. The talent actually isn't a measure of, isn't a form of money. It's a measure of money. It's a weight. So if a talent's an amount of weight, and so if it was a talent of gold, it would weigh out on the gold. If it was a talent of silver, it'd be worth a little bit less. By the way, typically a talent of gold was equal a 60, never mind, I'm mixed up. Anyway, so a mina is 100 days' wages. Anyway, mina is a 60th of a talent, and nobody cares but me, but I got that part right. Okay. Jesus said these people were given something from him, and by the way, far less than the parable of the talents, but they're giving something from him, and he wants them to handle it faithfully. And in verse 14, it says this, "But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, 'We do not want this man to reign over us.' But when he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so he might know what business they had done. And the first appeared and said, 'Master, your mina has made 10 minas more.' And he, Jesus, said to him, 'Well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to have authority over 10 cities. Did you grab that? This is what God says. This is what Jesus is telling you. Here's how the kingdom of God works. He gives you something and you're faithful with it, he'll give you more. And he'll give you more. And by the way, that's how the desire of your heart gets fulfilled. Because in the end, your heart's desire is based on the one you love. That you're after the blesser, not the blessing. And the more you're faithful to him, the more he blesses you back. And God just keeps blessing, blessing, blessing. We're not talking about money. Please don't. We're talking about life. We're talking about the joy of God being in you and upon you. We're talking about your life having deep meaning. And the Lord wants you to know that. So he said, well, how does it happen? When you're faithful. And the Lord says, when you're faithful, I'm going to keep adding and adding and adding. By the way, he does it again here. It says this in verse 18. The second came to him saying, your mina master has made 5 minas. And he said to him also, and you shall be over 5 cities. Based on how faithful you were, I'm going to keep blessing you back. And another came to him saying, master, here's your mina, which I kept and put away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you because you're an exacting man and you take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, by your own words, I will judge you, you worthless slave. I never want to hear that from God for me. And I never want you to hear that. I don't want God to look at you and say, your life has no value whatsoever. You haven't mattered one bit. I don't want him to say that to me. See, when we're faithful with what we have, our lives matter and have value. And so here's the question, are you and I going to be faithful with what we have? That's a way we cultivate faithfulness. And the Lord looked at him and said, you're worthless to me. And he said, did you not know that I am an exacting man, taking what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Then why did you not put my money in the bank? And having come, I would have collected it with interest. Then he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, but master, he has 10 minas already. Now, did you catch what happens? If you don't do your job in the kingdom, someone else is going to do it, but they're going to get your blessing. And you don't want that to happen. Because you're meant for more. God's great desire for you is to understand he has a plan for your life. Everybody in here who knows the Lord and has the Holy Spirit, you matter to God. By the way, you matter so much that he ordained that you be born in the last days when it matters most. And every one of you right now ought to be faithful with what God has given you. By the way, with your house, like you'd host a life group. With your car, you'd give someone a ride. With your spiritual gift, that you would use it to bless others. Why? Because God has given you that so you might be a blessing to others, but you're going to get blessed more back. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God has prepared amazing things for you to do, incredible effects for you to make. He's given you a life that matters, and the question is, are you ready to take it up? And when you do, the joy you have is so incredible, but you've got to be faithful with what God's given you, and then he'll give you more and more and more. And so you ought to be using everything, including your spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but to each one is given the manifestation for the spirit of the Spirit for the common good. So right now, if you're a Christian, you have a spiritual gift. And you ought to be using it to bless the life of others. Now, you might be saying right now, hey, I don't know what my gift is, but we'll help you find it. All you got to do is go through our connection process, fill out the card, drop it in. We'll let you know about it. By the way, next week it begins. We do it on a monthly cycle. Just come. And at 1 o'clock, we'll have lunch together. I'm going to share with you the first step of connection, as I call it, next step. Then the next week, we'll help you connect with God in a deep way. The next step, discover your spiritual gift, is the next week. And then how do you plug that in? We can do that with you and for you. And we'd love to go on the journey. But I want to say those words again. We can do it with you, and we'll do it for you. See, a lot of times you're sitting there going, man, you know what? This church just wants me. By the way, we do want you. You're that cool. But, you know, they want my time. Well, yeah, we do. But are you ready for this? We want all of that not from you. We want it for you. Amen. See, it really is for you. And so you got to do that. And so when you know your spiritual gift and you agree to plug in, you can be amazing in doing that. You really can. You might say, but I don't know if that matters. Well, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 says, who has despised the day of the small thing? If you're faithful with the mina, you're going to get a lot more. That's what the Lord says. So you ought to be faithful. I have a friend named Tim. He's a university professor in a secular university. He's one of the few Christians in this large, major university. He's probably the most popular professor, though. I mean, his classes are always full. Everybody always wants in. He's on fire for the Lord. He's shining as a light for Jesus. And you know what? The reason Tim's doing that today is because he went to VBS when he was in sixth grade and gave his life to the Lord. Now, why did he do that? Because somebody in that church volunteered to use their spiritual gift in sixth grade. And they had no idea the ripple effect that would have as they reached him for Christ. And today he's touching major influencers for the Lord. See, and some of you are going, ah, okay, so you want me to work at VBS. Let me tell you, I want you to work at VBS, but if you haven't signed up, you can't. Because so many people in our Crossroads family are faithful, we already have all the VBS workers we need. Did you know that? Yeah. So you're saying, well, what about me? You're worthless. No, I'm kidding. Can we take that out on the playback? No, what about you? There's so many things God has for you. And you know what? You have a vital part in the church family, and you have a vital part with what you have. Use it. I have been blessed with their awesome family. My mom and dad are incredible. And then my grandmother and grandfather, granny and granddad, were incredible too. And when granny passed away, granny loved the Lord, and she talked to me about the Lord all the time. We did her funeral. When it was over, this woman comes up to me and she said this. She said, I don't know how I'm going to get to church. And I said, well, what do you mean? She goes, well, your granny's was my ride. And I said, oh, I didn't know that. Another lady came and said, I'm not sure what's going to happen for food. And I go, what? And she goes, yeah, your grandmother would get food and bring it by. There's all these people who stood there saying, we don't know what to do without her. Please, please live a life where people don't know what to do without you. And when you're faithful, that's going to happen. I'm going to challenge you to do that. Make sure you're a part of it. Number three, you need to be faithful when it's hard. This is one of my more important ones, and I want you to grab this. But it comes from 1 Samuel chapter 24, which, by the way, is I think one of the funniest stories in all the Bible. The Bible has a lot of humor in it, and I think this is one of God's favorite ones. I don't know if you're going to agree, but grab what happened. Is David is now running from King Saul. Saul wants to kill David because he's a threat, and David goes into the wilderness of En-Gedi, which it's a desert area except for En-Gedi, which is a beautiful oasis that goes up into a canyon with waterfalls and plush vegetation and animals everywhere. Matter of fact, if I could ever take you to En-Gedi, which I'd love to do, you'd be amazed at it. And so David's hiding in there with a few men. And then Saul realizes he's there. And Saul brings a massive army to kill David. And they're marching in. And now there's no way out because they're up in the canyon. And then he begins to go in the canyon. But in that canyon, there's caves everywhere. So they go and hide in one of the caves, hoping he won't come in. So we're in the back of the cave hiding out when all of a sudden it happens. They see the shadowed figure, because the light would have only been behind him, of a man standing 7 feet tall. Did you guys know Saul was 7 feet tall? And he comes walking in the cave. You already know they were sitting in the back going, we're caught. There's no way out. Oh, and they're probably thinking, what are we going to do? And then all of a sudden, Saul stops and he starts undressing. You know why? Because Saul's going to go to the bathroom. Now, I don't know if you think that's funny. In all the caves, he chooses a cave where there's something, David and his men, and he goes in there and he takes off his clothes. And by the way, the Hebrew's clear here. He's not going to go number one. He's going to go number two, which to me is funnier. You know why? Because here's Saul, you know, squatting, and you didn't want to know that. But anyway, so all the David's men are going, that's Saul. He's naked. And we could kill him because there's no entourage. Yeah, when the king went to the bathroom, he didn't bring in a group going, come on, guys. But anyway, can we edit that one out too? So anyway, so what happens is they're all back here and they're going, God delivered him into your hands. Of all the caves, look, you got him. He is so exposed, you know, and go after him. And David could kill him. I mean, he didn't have to stab him with a sword. He could just go, ah, and he'd die. But he sneaks over and he takes his knife and he cuts off just the edge of his robe and sneaks back. And in that moment, David was, are you ready for this? A little bit unfaithful. Now, he could have killed him. He could have taken him prisoner. He could have mocked him. He cuts off just a little bit of his robe. And it says this. It says, then David arose and cut off the edge of Saul's robe secretly, verse 5. And it came about afterwards that David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe. The word bothered there actually means his gut twisted inside. You ever done something wrong and you just felt, that's what happened here. And David could not in that moment live with himself for what he had done. I mean, it would have been far easier to kill Saul. It would have been far easier to arrest Saul and imprison Saul and kidnap Saul or even torture Saul. The hard thing to do was to say, I shouldn't have touched him at all. I will not raise my hand against the Lord's anointed. I will not be someone that vindictive and cruel. I will not seek vengeance on my enemy. That's not easy. And David was faithful in that moment, and he even said to his men, we're not going to do this. And it says he convinced all the other men to be faithful. He fought against the peer pressure of the moment. And that's what you and I need to do. We need to be faithful in those moments, faithful in those times. And let me say this, because I really mean this. I don't want to be insensitive to how hard this can be. There are some of you right now that the marriage you're in, you're being faithful, but it's just hard. Now, by the way, if that's your marriage, I'm just praying that the other person would agree that you guys want to now have a good marriage. Because if it take you to both do, you could have it. But when one doesn't and the other one's trying very often, just even the idea of having to be at home with them kills you. But being faithful in the hard time is something God will bless. Some of you right now have a job where you're convinced everybody else who works there is demon-possessed. You're probably right. You know what? Some of you go to jobs and it is prison. You count down the moments to get away. And yet you got to be faithful. And when you're faithful in the hard time, God's going to bless. We just need to be people who are faithful to God. And when you do that, God's hand's going to be upon you because you're cultivating faithfulness. It will pay in the end. God will bless in the end. Number four, really, last one. We got to get to this. I cultivate faithfulness, number four, in what matters most. In what matters most. Now, I don't want you to miss that because all the others are important, but it's built from the little things to understanding, you know, we have to be faithful. I forgot the second one. It was my own point, too. With what you have. Thank you. Thank you. And then when it's hard, and then ready for this, what matters most? So it builds to that. But what matters most we need to be faithful in. And what matters most is this, if you're a born-again believer, the great commandments and the great commission. That you and I would be faithful in the greatest expectation God has, the two great commandments, and you would be faithful in the greatest calling of your life, the great commission, which we all share in. And what are the great commandments? Mark chapter 12, verse 29, it says this, Jesus said, what's the great commandment? That you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And he said, there's a second great commandment, that you love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, there's no other commandment greater than these. So you and I need to be that way. We need to love our Lord, our God, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We need to love other people around us the way he would love them. See, if you're going to obey that, if you're going to be faithful, that means you're going to be in the Word of God every day, meeting with God every day. Why? Because you love Him. It's not that, oh, I have to read my Bible. It's no. Man, I love the Lord, so I'm going to be faithful and spending quality time with the Lord in intentional intimacy, studying God's Word, asking God to speak to me. You're going to be faithful in praying before you plan or praying before you act, asking God, you know, hey, God, what would you want me to do? You know, Pam and I, like many of you, go out to eat every now and then. And whenever that day comes, you know what I always do? I look at Pam and say, hey, where would you like to go? You know why? Because I want to take her somewhere she wants to go because I love her. Are you ready? You ought to ask God where He wants to go. You don't say, God, come bless me. You say, God, where can I go where you're blessing? Where can I? You let God choose and ask Him. If you're faithful, by the way, are you ready for this? You're going to attend church. Now, I know you're all sitting there going, we're here. There's a new study out that bothers me, and I hope it bothers you. The new study said in the United States, the most committed members of the church only attend twice a month. Do you know why that bothers me? Because what is that saying to their kids? What are they teaching their children? You might say, well, Chuck, you know, I'm online at least. I bet your kids aren't online with you. If the Lord tarries, what is that going to do to the next generation to have that kind of lack of faithfulness? Hebrews 10:29 says, we're not to forsake the gathering together of the body as the habit of some. We can't be that way. Crossroads, you don't want to be. Do we want to be that church that only comes a couple times a month? No. Well, actually, let's try that together. Are we in agreement we're not going to do that? Yeah. Let's just want to be that way. You know why? Because we're faithful to God and what matters, and we love Him. And so we need to be that way. We also need to be faithful in the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? Matthew 28:19-20 says this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And to catch this, and lo, I'm with you always. If you want to experience the presence of God and the power of God, you take the Great Commission seriously. You go into the world. When we walk out these doors, you're going out there to reach people for Jesus. You're going out there to love people in the name of Jesus. You're going out there to be used by God to see people come to know Jesus Christ. And by the way, we want to encourage you more than ever to do that. We even want to help you. Today we've got some invite cards for you to take out there. And it says Dangerous Declarations, because that's going to be a great series starting on Father's Day that I can't wait for you to be a part of. We're going to spend 4 weeks helping you understand your convictions, the convictions that matter most in your life, and how you can stand for what matters and not relent at all, and how you can shine as a light in a dark world, how you can be someone that God would use to cause the gates of hell to shake and demons to quiver in terror. And if you're that kind of person, God's going to make you a dangerous person to the kingdom of darkness, and we want to help you. So take one of these cards and go and invite people to come. Pray over it. Invite, invite, invite. Why we're to go into all the world and see people reach for Jesus. And every one of us, that matters. Do you realize that if you're a Christian, the only reason you're not in heaven right now is because there's people to be reached? That's the only reason. You might be saying, well, you know, did you know right now, the number one reason you're on earth is to reach people? You might say, well, isn't it to worship God? Well, let me ask you a question. Can you worship better here or in heaven? You might say it's to learn the Word of God. Can you learn better here or straight from Jesus? You know, the only reason you're here, God loves you so much, but He left you here so you'll win people. And you and I are the hope of the world. You and I are to reach out to people all around us, and we need to take that to heart, and we need to be people who are faithful in that. A faithful person is going to invite people to church. A faithful person is going to care for people and say, you know what? I want you to know the Lord the way I know the Lord. And God's going to bless that, and you're going to experience the presence of Jesus. And I want you to understand that's the great calling in your life. You and I need to be that way. But God loves you. And He wants to bless you. And when you're faithful, God is going to give you the desires of your heart. And you know, I want you to grab hold of this, though. You ready for this? God's love is unconditional. His blessings are conditional. And you might go, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's what the Bible teaches. When you're faithful, when you get blessed. When you're unfaithful, you don't. It doesn't mean He doesn't love you. But I want to ask you, if you have a child who's an awesome child, a dream child, and does whatever you ask them to do, don't you want to bless that child? And if you have a child who's a juvenile delinquent at 7, do you give them everything that you'd want to give them? Would you feed that kind of a nature? See, it's God's a father who loves you. He's not going to feed that kind of nature. So what you need to understand is he wants to bless you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to have you be the person who have the value your life's meant to be. But you got to be faithful. And if you're here and you're a Christian and that's not true of you, you know what? Here's what you need to do. You can change. You can make today the day of change. You can recommit your life to God. And God loves when you do that. And let me say this as clearly as I can, is that God loves it when you do that. If you would turn and say, Lord, okay, I want to get it all right. Help me. The Lord's like, I want to help you. I love you. So today, if you're a born-again Christian and you're not living your life in complete obedience to God, experiencing his presence, finding God guiding you, then you know what you need to do? Say, God, take me back. Maybe you've wandered away. Maybe you backslid. Love is unconditional. He's not going to stop loving you. But you know what? Come home. Come and find his love. Maybe you're a married couple and right now you need God to really come and cause your marriage to be a marriage that's heaven on earth. Open up to God together. Grab hands today and say, we're going to commit our marriage and our lives to him. I've watched God change marriages. See, you can change. That's the whole premise. If you're here and you've never met the Lord, you've never opened your heart to him, you've never come to really know him, maybe you've been in church, maybe you even prayed the prayer before, but it never really happened, today could be the day it will. So how does that happen? If you're brand new, how do you do this? The Bible says you call on the name of the Lord to be saved, which means you pray. You just say to the Lord, I want to give my life to you. I really do. I want to just call out to you. And the Lord says, then I'm going to come and I'm going to love you. Today, maybe you just need to come to know the Lord, then call out to him. That's the first step. Pray. Maybe right now you need to be freed from something. Maybe right now you are in the clutches of a sin that's got a hold of you you can't seem to get free from. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be pornography. It could be some other horrible thing, gambling. Let me tell you something. You can change. You can change. God will change you, but it starts with you admitting your need for God and calling out to him, and he wants that for you. And so right now, if that's you, open up your heart to him and watch God come and bring freedom. God wants to bring healing. Some of you right now, there's hurt and pain because you've been wounded by other people in your life, or maybe you're hurting and wounded over something you've done. God will never run from you, but he wants you to run to him. And so what do? Use this time to call out to him. So if you don't know the Lord, this is your moment. You can come to know him. Pray the prayer. If you need to recommit, pray the prayer. If you need your marriage right, pray the prayer. If you need healing or freedom, pray this prayer with me. And that's the first step. The first step's to pray. The second step is to profess. Now, what does that mean? In the Bible, we're told to confess that we now have made a commitment to God. And so what we're going to do in the second step is this. Where after we all pray that prayer, I'm going to ask everybody to stand and sing, and I'm going to ask no one to slip out during this time because we don't want you to distract from people who are really, really getting serious about making a decision for God. We're going to stand and sing, and then I'm going to ask everyone who prayed that prayer in a minute, when since it's God calling them, I'm going to ask you to make your way to an aisle or to the stairs and to come forward and let us greet you right here. Then head to this room we call our living room where we celebrate life. We'll give you a Bible. We'll give you some other materials to help you come to know the Lord even better. But something happens when you call out to him, and something happens when you take that walk. When you step out, you and God connect in a deeper, in a more passionate way. You'll sense it coming upon you, and it won't happen if you don't do it. So the reason we're asking you to is because this is what the Bible shows about how to enter into a very real, very vital relationship with God. So I'm going to ask right now, as we go to prayer, all of you who love God, would you start praying for people who need to say yes to him? Let's pray. Father, I pray right now for your Holy Spirit to really, truly, truly touch people, Lord. I pray there would be those right now who, if they've never met you, they can sense your presence, they can sense your love, they're ready to say yes. And they could come to know you today. Lord, it's so, I hope they don't hold back. I hope they open up. Lord, I want to pray for some couples that need to put their marriage in your hands. And God, it could be the most amazing thing ever. And Lord, I think there's a couple here that not only needs to grab hands and commit to you, but not only do they need to come, but they're God, you're putting it on their hearts. It's time to be baptized. And their kids are going to be blessed, and they're going to be blessed. And I pray, God, they're going to do that today. Father, I pray for a person who's here that's made a decision. They've already made the decision to do something they shouldn't do. And God, they don't have to fall through. They can turn, they can repent, they can change. You'll help them. And I know they're scared about it, but God, you'll help them. And I pray right now they're going to pray and commit their life and make the walk and leave this building a new person, freed from what would have happened. Father, I want to pray for people who have been doing things this week that they wish they weren't. They want to stop. One person even on Monday thought, I'm stopping. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they still weren't in it. And God, today could be the day that it all comes to an end and you're going to help them. So Lord, we pray right now for anybody who needs to come back to you. People who used to know you with vitality and vibrancy that they'd pray the prayer. People who need to know you the first time. God, please move. Please touch. Right now, I'm going to lead that prayer. And if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, or you're ready to come back or find healing or freedom, pray this prayer with me. Say these words. Say, Lord Jesus, I know you love me. And say this. Say, I know you died on the cross to forgive me and to cleanse me from all my sin, to heal me from hurt and from pain, to free me from anything that would hold me down or hold me back. And say these words. Say, I know you want me to be yours, and you want me to be alive, and you want me to be brand new. So I say yes. Yes, I want you. And yes, I want the life you have for me. So please fill me with your spirit and fill me with your love and make me completely yours. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you prayed that, amen. Praise God if you prayed that. Praise God if you did that.